If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips,
them just give hypertension.
Got some old fashioned itch, do a tilted back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed? Steady watching movies like 24/7.
Try on going you garden, I pick a fruit or start farming, because the state of the health of summer,
we mind is alarming.
Jeez, oh, bread. Real talk, that Gary one of sells, no?
And it's time for us to say good evening to the lady who will take us through the next hour, Lisa Bailey. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Thank you so much for welcoming us on to 92.9. It's been a long time since I've been on radio, and it feels really good. Haven't been on 92.9 for a long time. Thank you so much, Larry. And of course, this is Healthline, and today we're talking about the not-so-sweet truth about sugar. And as you heard, my name is Lisa Bailey. I'm a communications consultant and a member of the Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition. Now, this hour is brought to you by the Heart and Stroke Foundation and, of course, the Barbados Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition. And I have three ladies with you today, and we're all going to be talking to you and hearing from you about this topic, sugar, and why are we talking about it. So I have Dr. Camille Hope. She's a dentist. I have Dr. Kia Lewis, a medical practitioner. And I also have nutritionist Stacia Whitaker. And we are here. We're going to be taking your calls a bit later, but I'm going to give the ladies a chance to talk to you a bit about this topic. I'm going to go to you first, Kia, because you're the doctor, and maybe you can start by telling us a little bit about what you're seeing from your area, and why is this such a big problem? Why are we even talking about this, Dr. Kia Lewis?
Hi, Lisa. Good night to Barbados. Really, really happy to be on tonight. And I think we're talking about a really important topic in terms of sugar. We know that culturally, Barbadians love their sugar. We put it in everything. And we're using more and more of it as we go on. And I think that we're seeing the effects of that in terms of our non-communicable diseases, our NCDs, the rates of our NCDs. And a lot of times when we think about sugar, we only think about diabetes. You see the link directly there. But it's also things like hypertension. It's also things like high cholesterol, your heart attacks, your strokes, because they're all interconnected. And we are seeing increasingly more rates of these things, higher rates of these things. We are seeing a lot more obesity. And obesity is something that we know leads on to these other things that I would have talked about, the complications. And so the sugar epidemic in Barbados, the love for sugar, it is costing us a lot health-wise. It's costing us at the individual level, it's costing us at the family level, but it's also costing us nationally. We're spending millions of dollars on health care as it relates to non-communicable diseases. So it is a topic that we need to talk about, because not only is it costing our older adults, but it's also costing our children, right? And we know, as obviously as the Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition, we focus a lot on our children, but we realize that we need to have a holistic approach that looks at good health for the entire family, because the family is the foundation for good health. So just to start off, I'll also say that we really have to look at our sugar consumption, where we're getting these sugars from, and how we can cut back to avoid continuing down the trend that we're going.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And I know we often see the link, Dr. Hope, between too much sugar and your area, where we're talking about the teeth and the gums. But tell us what you're seeing. Has it changed much over the years?
Actually, first of all, thanks for inviting me. Good night, Barbados, and good night, everyone on the panel. No, unfortunately, it hasn't improved. That is cavities. Or the incidence of cavities. So you're seeing more cavities now, especially in children. As a matter of fact, if I'm not correct, the number is something like 530 million kids globally have cavities in their baby teeth alone. And that's a staggering and sad number. And I don't know how many of you listeners and viewers know that there is a link between obesity and cavities and obesity and gum disease, in that if you are obese, if your child is obese, if a child is obese, then they have a greater chance of getting cavities and as they get older into their teens, of getting gum disease. And yes, you can get gum disease even in your early teens. Gum disease is not just reserved for older people or adults. And so this is a very, very important topic. Sugar, your medical health, your dental health. It's something that I think we have to address now, sooner rather than later. And I'm hoping that, you know, the work I'm seeing, especially the Heart and Stroke Foundation, et cetera, will continue, because we really need those guys. We really need those guys.
And I think we all agree that we want to see more than talking about it. We want to see action, right? We want to see action. I'm going to you now, Stacia, because I'm sure that you are having clients ask you to help them sometimes when they start to see issues, either in themselves or in their children. What are you seeing in your field?
Hi, good evening, everyone. Good evening, Barbados. Thanks again for having me on this evening. Yes, Lisa. Everything that has been said already, that is the reality. That is the honest truth. And when it comes to also the nutrition aspect, as you could imagine, food is cultural. And even as Kia spoke about, Barbadians, we love our sweetened drink. We love our cakes and pastries. So obviously, when now you're having the prevalence and the incidence of obesity and overweight, both in our children and our adult population, for most part, sometimes our clients are not even aware that they're overweight or obese, that their BMI is out of the healthy range. And it reminded me of even a client I once saw. Well, the doctor referred her to me because he was concerned about her weight, something you don't always see, you know, you don't always get doctors. And I'm not speaking about the doctors on this chat, but we know sometimes it's cultural to have a weight and, you know, the hips and everything going on. And what was so interesting, when she did come to the appointment, and I always like to ask my clients, no, do you know why you're here? You know, and I remember she said, well, the doctor said I have a little bit of weight on, but I don't see nothing wrong with it. So from get-go, she was not interested in losing any weight or trying to make any healthy food choices. So when we look at the whole idea of sugar, and we know that it's contributing a lot to weight gain. Obviously, we have lack of physical activity also playing a critical role to that as well. But when we look at sugar, we got to be so strategic, Lisa, because we know Bajans just love the food. And we want to really keep hammering home the importance of eating healthily and also the dangers of eating unhealthily. Both from a cavity, we're hearing why Dr. Hope, my eyes just popped out of my head. Said little ones. You know, in children. And
but
I also
number for adults, I think you may faint.
Oh my goodness. Don't let me faint yet. But and it reminded me also having a little recently too, having a parent and it was a son. He was I don't think he was 5 years yet, and he had a very bad case of cavities, all his teeth close to the gum. And obviously we had to talk about, what are you giving this child? Is this child drinking sweet drinks? You know, unfortunately, sometimes parents think that juice is the better thing, but we want to educate them that you got to be careful between a juice and a juice drink. And better yet, a fresh fruit is a better choice when you're looking at providing something nutritious, especially for your little ones, because we really, really want to get hold of this childhood obesity and this childhood overweight and obesity, because we all know that it can also go on into adulthood. And there lies our problem all throughout the spectrum.
May I add something? Yeah, I just wanted to mention to everyone that we tend to forget sometimes about hidden sugars. And I don't want everyone who's viewing or listening to think that when we say no sugars, we literally mean don't take any sugars. We are talking about sugars that are added to food. So obviously grapes have their own natural sugar in them. Banana has its own natural sugar in it. But when you take a food that has its own natural sugar and you add even more sugar to it, that is where the problem starts. And we tend to forget that things like ketchup has sugar in it. Even in medication, the liquid medication that you give your kids, they have to put some form of sugar in it so the kids can take it. And sometimes, you know, we tend to forget that those kinds of condiments and sometimes medication can also lead to problems, especially cavities as well. You know, so
I think Dr. Hope, it hits on something that occurred to me as all of you were speaking. You can't tell by looking if someone is obese or if there are issues. And you also can't tell sometimes by what you eat, what's in it. Which can take us down another road when we talk about labels.
Correct.
And if we could even understand the labels. But so there are dangers. There are dangers for sure. And so even when you talked about, it's not just cavities, it's gum disease as well. So let's start at the top again. What are the dangers of overconsumption of sugar? Because we are not saying don't have sugar. I had some grits this evening that were so sweet. I actually was shocked how sweet they were.
Yeah.
But Lisa, that's all right, you know. The sugar in the grapes, the fructose, what I tell people, that fructose, which is fruit sugar, is in a matrix of dietary fiber. So guess what? Your body is going to metabolize that sugar far different than the added processed sugars that we're seeing, like Dr. Holt talked about, is in the ketchup, is in the medication. It's in everything. And then when we turn it into that liquid calorie where we're drinking it, now it gets into our system quickly and raise our blood sugars very high. And that's what you're seeing. Even I think somebody mentioned, I think Kia mentioned it last week, we were on a program as well. You are thinking, you're saying a child with diabetes is going to be type 1. Oftentimes you're seeing children now coming down with type 2 diabetes. Can you imagine that? So it is the diet is what we're eating, and rightfully so. Is the types of sugars. And I get that all the time. Is honey better? Is this one better? Is white sugar better than brown sugar? I had a diabetic tell me she was told, you know, white sugar is better than brown sugar. So she started using white sugars. So it's really getting people to understand. We're not saying, you know, no sugar, but we're trying to say let's be moderate. Obviously, there's a big issue happening. No pun intended, or maybe pun intended.
But also, think of this. You know, I have parents who say, I don't know why my kid is getting cavities because he drinks a lot of milk and so on. I said, well, what kind of milk does he drink? He drinks well, chocolate milk, strawberry milk, you know, that type of milk. And I have to now educate them to understand that a food that we normally associate with healthiness and as a good food is milk. We all know that milk is supposed to be good. But if you add color in or flavor in and sugar and because you have to put the sugar in to kind of make the chocolate or strawberry taste good. Well, that's counterproductive, and that is going to cause cavities. So those chocolate milks and strawberry milks and all the fruit yogurts, because yogurt is supposed to be healthy. But if you add sugar to the yogurt and you add color into the yogurt, then, you know, it defeats the purpose of the healthiness of the yogurt.
Agreed. All right, Dr. Hope, we're going to take a quick break here and come back to you, but I think we've definitely gone into a good conversation, and we want you to be a part of the conversation as well, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention.
Please.
All these sweeties on salty chips,
them just give hypertension.
Get some old-fashioned itch, do a tilted back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed, steady watching movies like 24-7.
Is it try on going you garden, I pick a fruit
or start farming, because the state of the health of summer, we mind is alarming.
Jeez, oh, bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell.
Cheese on bread. I absolutely love that commercial, Real Talk. And that's what we're talking about here right now. It's Healthline. We have Dr. Camille Hope. She's a dentist. We have Dr. Kia Lewis, a medical practitioner, and nutritionist Stacia Whitaker. I'm your host, Lisa Bailey, and we're all members of the Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition. This is Healthline, and we're sponsored by the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados. Today, we're talking about the not-so-sweet truth about sugar. It's real talk about sugar. So we heard a bit about the dangers, what we're seeing so far. Ladies, I'm going to start with you, Kia. Can we turn this around? How do we turn this around?
Definitely think that we can, Lisa. I think what it requires, we need a cultural shift. And, you know, we use fancy words like that, but I don't think we realize the amount of work that goes into that. We have a culture, like I've said, that's based on a lot of sugary foods. And we already had Bajan culture mixed up with sugary foods, but now we've adopted a lot of North American culture. And that in itself imposes its own problems. And so in terms of turning it around, it's going to take, like I said, a cultural shift. It's going to take education, a lot of education. There are a lot of misconceptions out there. And I think we hit on a couple of them when we talked about people thinking that milk and yogurt is a lot healthier for their children, but not realizing the amount of sugar that's in it, right? The fact that people will pick up a juice and think that they're doing the best by giving them the juice 3 times a day, you know, and there's a lot of deceptive marketing, the juices that have on 100% vitamin C, but they don't say, well, this juice is going to give the child twice as much sugar as they should have in an entire day in this one box juice. And so there is a need for education. I do not think that parents are out there trying to harm their children. I am a parent myself, and there's a lot of things that I did not know and that I'm going to know. There are a lot of things that my mother did not know. So I think that parents are really well intended. It is that they do not know. And so we have to look at things like teaching people how to read food labels, right? We tell parents, for example, that children should not consume more than 6 teaspoons of added sugars in a day. What does that really mean? It means that, like we said, the sugars that are added to foods, right? So we're not talking about the grapes and those sort of things that you said, but we're talking about the sugars that you will find in your soft drinks and that kind of thing. So allowing parents to know, you don't want your children to have more than the 6 teaspoons of added sugars or 24 grams. And then you have to look at the back of those labels. You have to read your labels if you know what you're giving your children, right? A lot of these soft drinks, like I said, contain 2 and 3 and 4 times the amount of sugar that a child should have in a day. So definitely education. But not only that, Lisa, we need policy. We need policies that provide a protective environment. I say to people, if the environment is not such that it's going to encourage healthy behavior, you can educate till the cows come home, but people will not take up the advice that you're giving them. So you want an environment, especially in the schools, in the home as well, but especially in the schools, that is conducive for healthy living. And that's why we talk about removing the soft drinks from schools, right? Removing the sweetened beverages from schools. And I think people say, why are you focusing on the sweetened beverages? And we try to get people to understand that the research has shown us the majority of where we get our sugars. More than 50% of our sugars, Lisa, comes from the consumption of sweetened beverages. I often tell clients the easy way to start to lose weight and cut back on sugars is just to cut out the sweetened beverages and replace them with water. So like I said, it's education, it is policy, and just an overall cultural shift to get people to understand the importance of maintaining good health, not just trying to catch up once the doctor says something is wrong. Somebody said, if you don't pay for your child's wellness, you will pay for their illness. And I think that's the point that we need to get across, that we have to invest in our health and we have to do what we have to do now to prevent ourselves from going to the place of illness.
Agreed. And Dr. Hope, do you have anything to add to that in terms of how we turn this around?
Everything Kia said. I mean, you know, we have to turn it around. You know, I alluded to a figure that is quite shocking, and that's over 2 billion with a B people have cavities in their permanent teeth, right? Because of bad diet, too much sugar, too much acid. And remember this, that for us dentists, we have to educate that it's not just sugars alone that affect the teeth. It's not just sugars alone that obese children in particular are ingesting. It's the acids alone as well. So when you have those candies that have the acid feature as well as the sugar feature, and some of those sports drinks that have all those sugars in it and the acid, including the sodas, and we know what they are. This is a double whammy because you are now feeding the bacteria in the mouth with sugars because that's what they eat. They're excreting acid, and it's the acid that's eating away our teeth and affecting our gums.
Dr. Hope, some people will say, well, can't you just brush that away?
No, you can't just brush that away. Because first of all, from my experience, there's a lot of snacking going on as well. What does that mean? That means, let's say that the average child, and we're talking about children here now, the average child has three, you know, what we call full meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, okay? And we're not going to discuss what breakfast, lunch, and dinner is, but the average child has breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In between those three main meals, there's a lot of snacking, and there's a lot of snacking on unhealthy, overloaded sugar foods and acid foods. There's a lot of that going on. Not that the parents know, I think a lot of parents don't understand. And if they did, if they really got that foundation. And to answer, you know, earlier, what can we do? We have to have a holistic and grassroots approach to this. What do I mean by grassroots in particular, right? I think that we have to start from the basic concept that things have to be convenient, right? If we can change that mindset and say, you know what? Yeah, I know I have two jobs. Yeah, I know I have a job and two kids, etc. But you know what? Let me try and make my own homemade, freshly made juices. You know, get some cherries, get some limes or lemons, make my own juices so I can control what my kids are eating. So from that grassroots, from just changing the culture of convenience to where we were back in the 60s and 50s, where, you know what? I don't even remember seeing certain things in the supermarket because you had to go and get your fish, you had to go and get your this from the fish market. Not so, but now everything is at our fingertips, including things that make no sense. How is yogurt in a tube called Go-Gurt? How is yogurt in a tube? How does that make sense?
I am laughing because these are the things that your children will ask you for. And then you have to be the bad mommy who says, no, we're not getting that one today. But Dr. Hope, I want to go down the line of the convenience. And I think this is a good way for Stacey to come in. Because I don't think we can fight the battle of things not being convenient. But we can make things convenient at home. Not true, Stacey?
And healthy. Convenient and
agreed.
Healthy.
Agreed. And healthy. What do you think, Stacey? Can't we have convenience too and be healthy?
Yeah, certainly, Lisa, we can. And I love all the points that Dr. Hope and Dr. Lewis has made. Those are excellent points. And I mean, at home, we can do it. It's been done before, before all of the convenient food that we're seeing now. And the thing about convenient food is for it to be convenient is going to be processed for most part. And that means it's going to have that said added sugar, added salt, added fat, and just additives in general that oftentimes do our bodies more harm than anything. So, I mean, the convenience at home, you might prepare or prep your items before. A lot of people don't need to plan. You can sit down maybe Sunday afternoon and plan your meals out, plan your fruits, plan, cut up your vegetables, decide what you're going to cook tomorrow and the next day, and things like that we can do. I love the idea, again, Dr. Hope talked about your lemonade, you know, because now you can control the added sugar if you're going to add how much sugar you would need to add in that. And you can make your own beverages from home. But most of all, you can just give some good old water, the forgotten nutrient. We kind of forgot that that's a nutrient that we need, a vital one, might I add, and that we can get our children and our households. Because before we can get on a large scale, let's let every household look and see, how can I make my family more healthy? You know, what can we cut out or cut down or reduce? And what can we replace it with? Maybe if every parent, every household could start to think like that, they might realize that it's easier and it's even cheaper. Because oftentimes people will argue, you know, to make healthy food choices is expensive. And in some cases it can be, but if you choose to do like shopping season, buy those fruits that are in season, the ad talk about going into your garden. Let's get active. Let's get back to our gardens and contributing more to our plate. We're so far removed because we no longer cook. So we're buying food already that is cooked or prepared by someone else. And we're so far removed. We don't do as much farming anymore. So we're buying vegetables imported here, there, and everywhere. So let's get back is one way of an alternative, as well as doing those convenient things at home to make it easier, because we can all admit we get a bit busy and sometimes it seems easier to just go and grab something that's convenient, but oftentimes it's going to be that unhealthy one. I also wanted to say, Lisa, when Dr. Hope talked about the snacking, I'm always appalled of why we have to do all this snacking. I believe once you start and prepare healthy meals, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, this unnecessary snacking that oftentimes result with a lot of sugary and salty options can be removed, because now you would have prepared a robust breakfast for that child or your household. You would have planned to have a robust lunch. And you would have planned to have a decent supper or dinner. And therefore, the concurls, the yogurt and the tube, as you talked about, and the chocolates and the Shirley's and all of this rubbish that has no nutrients will now be able, and you'll save money. Guess what? You'll save money. I hear parents say, I'm going to buy some snacks. And when you look and see what they're buying, is obviously they do not understand. And I guess a lot of parents will appreciate to have that understanding how best they can do things. Lisa?
I wanted to add to that, like Stacey said, there are certain things that if you want to eat healthy, it might be a little bit more expensive. But I think that grossly, there's this misconception surrounding that. We did some research in the supermarkets, and what we have found is that a lot of the fruits that are out there are actually cheaper than a lot of the snacks and juices that parents buy. And that's just facts. That's from the research that we did very recently. And so it is for parents to kind of pay attention to see, you know, is it really that expensive to give my child an apple instead of a pack of $2 or $2.50 chips? Is it that more expensive? And I guarantee you it isn't. Sometimes you think you have to buy the strawberries and the grapes and the, you know, the more expensive imported things. But there are cheaper things that you can give to the children and you can eat yourself, you know, that are cost effective. The other thing I want to say is that there's a price to convenience. There is a price to convenience, especially as it relates to unhealthy foods. What we are seeing with our children is that they are developing the NCDs at a much younger rate. We are seeing the like we said, the type 2 diabetes. We're seeing high blood pressure. Imagine, I've heard pediatricians say, especially during this pandemic period, they're seeing quite a few children coming with high blood pressure. And I think it's as a result of the lack of physical activity, but just also the convenient things that we're given and the snacks that are very high in salt, right? The things that are very high in sugar. And at the end of the day, when these children develop high blood pressure and diabetes from a young age, the disease course is very aggressive. So the heart attacks and the strokes and the amputations that you expect to see in people in their 60s and 70s and 80s, you now start to see in people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. You have people who are in their 30s and on dialysis because the kidneys have failed. So these are all things that we have to look at. I want parents to remember there's a price that comes with convenience, and your children are the ones that bear the price, right? So we have to be very careful with that. We have to find a way to be convenient but healthy.
I'm glad you went there. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what this all means, not only now, but in the future. And you started to talk about that, Kia. And we also want to get your questions and your comments on all of this, because we know it's not easy. So we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back in just a few seconds.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system. Cut them off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties and salty chips, them just give hypertension. Get some old fashioned itch to all tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on a bed, steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going you garden, I pick a fruit or start farming, because the state of the health of summer, we mind is alarming.
Jeez, oh, bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell, nah?
Welcome back to Healthline. We're talking about the not so sweet truth about sugar. My name is Lisa Bailey. I'll be your host for this next half an hour. And I have with me Dr. Camille Hope. She's a dentist, Dr. Kia Lewis, a medical practitioner, and Stacia Whitaker, a nutritionist. And we're here to answer your calls. Or if you have any questions from us, please give us a call at 434-1790. And we'll be sure to try to answer all of your questions. Now, before we went to break, we started to talk about why this matters, not only now, but in the future. Dr. Lewis was talking about what we are seeing, what can happen to our children. And we say we want to give our children the best start in life, right? if they are consuming these high levels of sugar and other, you know, other nutrients now in too high a level, it does have an effect on them later in life. If you just tuned in, Dr. Lewis talked about the onset of diabetes, type 2 diabetes in children, high blood pressure. Dr. Hope, is this something also that you're seeing leading to issues later in life in children? Is it just a cavity? You know, some people think, well, I'll just get a fill-in. Tell us what it means for people later in life.
Well, before I do that, let me say that, you know, this pandemic, as you know, has, you know, truly changed our lives. And I can tell you that I've had so many parents and adult patients tell me that the last year they have changed their eating habits. Because they're home, they're right in front of the TV, they're not active, they're just eating and snacking and eat. And I have seen not just more cavities, but the patients that I knew before that have not benefited from an active life because the kids have been at home for months on end, etc. So this issue of weight gain and obesity is something that is going to be with us until we put policies in place to make sure that people are educated enough to understand what their eating and nutrition is doing to their overall body. You know, I can't say it enough when I say that I think that if we can educate, we can get this ball rolling. I really believe that proper education, policies, active approach, a holistic approach, a multifactorial approach is going to be the way forward. You know, because this problem, this obesity problem, these cavities, they're not going to go away just like that. They're really not going to go away. And you know, people truly are linking things the incorrect way. For example, people feel that really and truly it's just sugars that cause cavities, and candy and sugars that cause the sugars and candy that cause cavities. They don't understand that other foods like, other foods that are considered healthy can also cause cavities, can also cause overweight. So for them, it's just the bad foods. But there are good foods, what we consider good foods, that when mixed with other things are not good for you. And so I think another simple thing is we've got to teach people how to shop. We've got to teach people how to shop. There's no sense going into a supermarket if you really don't know what you're picking up. We have to teach people it is not wrong to take up a carton of something and look at the back or less hopefully the front in a couple of weeks or months and find out what am I putting in my body or my kid's body? What does it mean when it says it's 28 grams of carbohydrate? Of that, 20 of it is sugar. What does that actually mean? And so, you know, going forward, it has got to be a total total shift in actually what is good and what is bad, and can good also be bad? Food-wise, I mean, because we have totally, as I said, this culture of convenience has totally blinded us. You know, because we at this point, I feel that there's a certain amount of apathy. You know, we hear how cigars are bad for you, cigarettes cause this, and you know, don't do this if you want to be safe, and you know, but we don't really push safe eating. What about safe eating? Because if you don't eat properly, you're gonna get sick. You know.
I'm glad that you brought up, I mean, the COVID-19 has definitely shown us that persons with underlying conditions, more often than not chronic diseases, are not faring very well once they have COVID-19. So we have seen that it does make your body vulnerable to illness. We've talked about policy, and I think it's important for us to mention that policy isn't only punitive, right? policy can also be creating better settings, making it easier for people to make the right choices. Correct, Stacia?
Yes, Lisa, definitely correct. We need the education, but yes, we see that policy has to also play a role because some people, you know, and the truth is, you know, sometimes we do have the information. You know, education doesn't mean you're going to make the right choice. It just means you've been educated. You've been introduced to something new. But I can tell you, sometimes I sit with my clients and you ask them certain questions about eating healthily and they know. They have a basic idea, but it's now to make that choice, is to be empowered to make those choices for yourself and for your family. And therefore, yes, I see where policy will have to play some role in helping persons to really make the decisions towards their health, not only for their children, but for themselves. We're seeing this small, beautiful island. It's just persons are just eating themselves to death. And people might think we sound a bit extreme, but in our profession, Lisa, you're seeing it day in. You're seeing people come down with go on dialysis that they don't need to go on because they just did not manage their diagnosis. And oftentimes these NCDs can be better controlled or even avoided. We always say genetic loads the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. So despite you might say, oh, well, my mother was a bad diabetic, so you kind of reserve your fact that you're going to be a bad diabetic. No, you can make the choices to eat healthily, to prepare healthy meals in your home, to shop smart, like Dr. Hope talked about. And I even encourage our supermarkets. I always wonder, Lisa, when I go at the checkout, I always say, why don't they have bananas or oranges while I'm waiting in the line? You know, you always see all the other things there that make you want to, oh, you didn't want it, but you're standing up there long enough, you end up grabbing something and putting it in your trolley. Why not have some bananas or some oranges or some nuts there? Because they can stay out there close to the cashier. They're not going to go off as bad, you know. Why not do those things, nudge people to make those healthy choices, such as we see coconut water selling on the road. So now you see a lot of people will stop now and buy coconut water that probably would never have done that. Water bottle, you know, people selling water. So we just need the environment. We need the policy. And we really can see how having these things together, the education, and obviously organizations and collisions such as the childhood, the Barbados Childhood Obesity Prevention, just out there and really hammering home the importance of making healthy food choices.
Can I say something? Yeah, I think that, you know, we also have to we have to educate our youth and our parents and so on, to ask questions. And what do I mean by that? Mommy, do you think this is good for me? Right? And I think, I've always said this, why can't some independent body, preferably government, have a program in supermarkets where there's someone there that if I'm looking at a product and I'm not too sure, I could go to that person and say, tell me something. Tell me what about this product that I should or shouldn't know about? And they would educate me right there on the spot. Now, it doesn't have to be there permanently, but until we get our obesity rate down and our caries rate down and our diabetes rate down, I think that would be a pretty good idea.
Now, I don't want this to be all doom and gloom, ladies. I know it's not a pretty picture we're painting. We know people are going through a lot of mental anguish right now. Normally, we would be in studio with Larry. We would kick back and have a joke. We're online right now. People are already a little stressed. So is there any good news in all of this? Dr. Kia Lewis, give us some good news. What's the good news? There must be some good news in all of this. Or how can we really begin to help our people to pull this back?
So, you know, it's so strange. I was sitting here thinking the same thing. I was saying this pandemic has been so heavy. And a lot of us are, you know, emotionally eating, myself included. We are not exempted. We're not sitting here saying we are perfect and we don't ever crave ice cream or feel to go through a drive-thru when you have a rough day that's been tiring or any of those things. We're not perfect. So we realize where people are and where the children are, because Lisa, the children are stressed too. They may not be able to articulate it, but they're stressed too, and they're going to crave the things that make them feel good. So what I would say to parents, the first thing is don't be too hard on yourself about what you didn't know, or even the things you knew but you were too stressed to implement. This information is not meant to make you feel like a bad parent. You know, you're not doing what you have to do and the teachers are telling you what to do. No, this information is meant to basically expose you to the dangers and then say, hey, but there are some gentle changes that you can make. One of the things that I would encourage parents is that persistence will give you the results that you want. It's really difficult to make changes, especially when your children have been accustomed to a certain way, right? And I like to use the example of my son. When he was much younger, he did not like water at all. Imagine that. And it was heartbreaking for me as a mom to watch him constantly want, you know, other things, whether it be juice or whatever. Eventually, we had to put down our foot and we said, okay, whenever you're thirsty, you're not having anything else for a period of time but water. So he would refuse it because he was young. He would refuse it. And when he got really thirsty, you know what? He would come and he would take a sip, even if he didn't drink a lot. And we like to say children don't starve themselves to death, right? So they will come when they're very hungry. So parents, there are things that you can do. You have to put down your foot. That's the first thing. You have to make up your mind. The same way that children don't like homework and schoolwork, but we insist that they do it. They might not like the changes initially, but if you keep at it, you will see the results. And then there are ways that you can make things more accessible. So the good news is that you can save money because the box juices you've been buying, that has to be a dent in the budget. The snacks that you've been buying, that has to be a dent in the budget. But no, invest in a water bottle, right? Put that water bottle in the fridge if your child likes cold water. All children don't. So some children will say, I prefer my water at room temperature. Little things that you can do that will save you money. So make sure that the water is always accessible, that they don't always have to come and ask you if they're a certain age. It's the first thing you should be able to put their hands on. And then in terms of getting fruits are accessible. The good news is that if you shop around, you will find good deals. And I'm not just saying that, I have proved it for myself. So if you shop around, ask around, you can find some good deals. And what you can start with is not bringing the snacks in the home. We're not saying that you can never have a snack or the child can never have something else. What we're saying is that if you're going to use it, let's say you use it once a week or whatever, have it out and leave it out. Don't bring it in the house. I say to parents, if you bring home a tub of ice cream, you can be tempted to take a little bit every day. You know, your child may ask for it every day. As opposed to if, I don't know, once or twice a month, you say, okay, I'll allow you to have a scoop of ice cream. And you go, you pick it up, and you leave it there. So moderation is what we're talking about. We're talking about finding ways to save you money, parents, because now you're not spending the money on the ice cream and the donuts from the store and the cakes and so. And bringing in the fruits that they can use. Portion out the fruits. If you know that you can't afford for every child to eat a whole apple, that's fine. A half an apple is a start, right? And if you know that it is tough to get the vegetables in, that's fine. Start out with canned vegetables. They might not be the healthiest alternative, but they are better than having nothing at all. And the children get used to seeing the pretty vegetables in the food. And you know, as things get better, or you find a way to start planting up something in the old container, now you can steam your vegetables and incorporate them in the food. So the good news is that there are cheap and cost-effective things that you can do and things that don't necessarily take a lot of time.
Yep.
And you don't have to do all of them all at once. You can take it one step at a time. Introduce one change at a time.
Thank you, Dr. Lewis. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, some more tips for you. And remember, you can give us a call at 434-1790. We'll be right back after this.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips. Them just give hypertension. Get some old fashioned itch through a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on a bed. Steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going your garden. I pick a fruit or start farming because the state of the health of summer. We mine is alarming.
Jeez, on bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell.
Welcome back to Healthline. We've got 15 more minutes left with you. We're talking about the not so sweet truth about sugar. My name is Lisa Bailey and I'm your host for today. We have Dr. Camille Hope. She's a dentist. We have Dr. Kia Lewis, a medical practitioner, and Stacia Whitaker is our nutritionist. And we are here to answer your calls if you have any questions about anything that we're talking about today. And as we finished just now in that last segment, I really felt like it might have been a bit heavy. I wanted to give you some good news. And I think Dr. Lewis gave us some good tips and some good takeaways. You know, we're not here trying to tell you you're doing everything wrong. You can pull this back. I'm going to go now to Dr. Hope. Same type of focus. How can people make a difference as it relates to their dental health? What can they do to make a difference? Obviously, come see your dentist, perhaps to see how things are going.
Well, the good news on my end, strictly on my end, is that cavities are preventable. You don't have to have a cavity. That is the best news that I heard in a lot. You don't have to get a cavity. They're preventable. That's good news. So proper education, proper diet, and you do not, your kids don't have to get cavities. Another good news is we are almost 70% water. When I say we, I mean human beings. Water. Water is the best liquid that you could teach your children from young to drink. You could tell them, you know, you are made of mainly water. So feed yourself water. And, you know, it's better than soda, right? That's another good news, that you don't have to expense yourself. You really don't have to expense. I can guarantee you right now in my fridge, I do not have any juices. I don't even have homemade lemonade. Right, it's just pure water, and that's just me, I know, but I cut down on so much money from not buying juices, so much money, right? So two sets of good news from a dental perspective: cavities are preventable with good nutrition, cutting down sugars, cutting down sugary foods. And another good thing is that homemade food always tastes better than anywhere else you go. And it's cheaper. Instead of buying chicken nuggets, make them at home. And those are three bits of good news from my point of view.
Thank you so much. And you feel good too when you can create something on your own. The other thing I've found out, yes, Kia, the other thing I found when you talk about making lemonade is that when you're making your own drink, you're very conscious of the amount of sugar that you're putting into it. And sometimes you think, oh gosh, that's like five of those big spoons. So, it impacts your brain a bit more.
Because a lot of the foods have a lot of sugar in it, like sodas. But because the acid is there, it cuts down on you knowing really how sweet that liquid is, right?
Agree. Dr. Lewis, you were saying something?
No, I was saying the point that Dr. Hope is making is such an important one about the beverages, right? I find that a lot of parents put themselves under pressure. I see it sometimes on the status. They're like, these children are home and we got to figure out what drink to give them. So they're like mixing up Kool-Aid and doing all these kind of things with the stress. No, parents, imagine not having that stress. Having, if you have three children, three water bottles that they refill at the tap. Because the good thing about Barbados is that you don't have to buy bottled water. For most places, the water is clean, easy to access. So imagine not having that additional layer of stress, not only thinking about snacks and food and all that, but you no longer have to be buying expensive juices or trying to mix up something before you go to work. But if you get your children into the habit of drinking water, then that's what they're going to call for and that's what they're going to drink. And we have proven that. So that's a really good point.
But some of the simplest foods, could be made into nice, fun snacks for children and the cheapest, the most inexpensive. Like lettuce. If you use lettuce as a wrap, you can put a bit of cheese in it. And, you know, wrap it up if you want to add chicken or even tuna, you know, and that's a pretty healthy snack. Or even the veggie sticks, cut up some carrots or celeries and use a peanut butter. Make sure it has less sugar in it, but peanut butter is a dip. That's a pretty good healthy choice, relatively speaking.
I mean, I think a lot of us are parents here as well, right? So I use some of these tricks and I've learned a lot of them over the years from my colleagues. So my son, who's three, his water bottle is at his height in the fridge because he loves to think he's a big man and he can come and pull the fridge and get what he wants. So the water is right there. I want to come to you now.
Beautifully.
It works so well because I think, you know, I'm helping myself. Yeah, I want to come to Stacia now in terms of alternatives. Obviously, water, water, water. But what else can we do? Because the body does crave the sugar, but we are using too much added sugar. So what are the alternatives from a nutritionist standpoint? What can we do?
Hi, Lisa. Yes. Some of the alternatives as it relates to having a healthier option for beverages, especially, we can infuse our water. You know, if you have a child that, you know, probably is already accustomed to the very sweet drinks and sodas, you can start just having some of the sweeter fruit. You can cut those up and you can just let them infuse that into their water bottle so that they still get a little taste. So maybe your oranges, maybe your watermelon, that gives a nice taste. Maybe if you want to get any more expensive fruits, you don't have to, but if you care, you can do your strawberries, whatever. And it's pretty. Guess what? It's very attractive. It's very pretty. And it gives a little taste with that. Another alternative, we talked about making our own beverages at home. You can have the kids help make the same beverage, and therefore you can control how much added sugar, or you can use sometimes your spices, especially if you're making maybe things like Mabi, instead of the syrup. I know we oftentimes, we get so accustomed to the Mabi syrup, we've kind of forgotten that really there's Mabi bark. And you can still make a very tasty Mabi with using your spices and your cinnamon and your bay leaf and give it a nice taste. You know, you can use your dry fruit. Sometimes you can have your dry fruit infused as well and use that liquid from your dried fruits to sweeten your beverages so that you're not adding and make things brackish. Remember, we just want to hydrate. We don't need the sugar. We talked about all of the conditions that happen because of the abuse of the sugar and sugary drinks and foods. So you just want to hydrate in general. So we need to come away from this idea that we need something sweet and in order to drink, you know, we just want something that is refreshing. And I always say once it's chill for me, I'm always refreshed. So it doesn't have to be sweet. And that's me personally. And I know for some people, they're coming from hundreds. So you're trying to get them down to, you know, not wanting these sugary things so often. And like Lisa, I love that option you talked about. Have the bottle right there if you have younger kids. Put the bottle in the fridge at their level. If you know it's a kid that loves a lot of sweetened things, infuse the water instead. And it was also stated here, it is, don't bring it in the house. Obviously, if it's in the home, it's going to be abused. So we can always go out sometimes and have quote unquote a treat. And we can have it in small portions and we can have it outside the home. And even talking about small portions, remember, we use in our hands also as a form of understanding portions for our little ones versus portions for the adults in the home. And once we think of that and keep that in our forefront, we can know that we are not overdoing because we talked about moderation. Because none of us here is going to say, well, we don't have a little scoop of ice cream here or there. But we've come to understand that it's really about moderation, Barbados. We need just to scale back, enjoy our food. We have lovely, delicious food here on this island. But yeah, we just need to have it in smaller portions, you know, just
people
enjoy.
People come from across the world to eat our food.
To have our food and to have our beverages. And we can, and we want, we enjoy it ourselves, but we can just do it more moderately.
Agreed. I want to remind you that if you need more information, you can visit our website, www.hsfbarbados.org, or go to our Facebook page. That's Facebook, Heart and Stroke Foundation Barbados. We're also on Instagram. And, you know, this is kind of leading me into, as we wrap up, what do we want to see from the public to help us keep this conversation going, to see changes and to get the word out? Dr. Lewis, I'm coming to you first. How can people get involved in this and what do you want Barbadians to do?
I think now that we have highlighted a number of things, I think we want people, Barbadians, to get behind what we're saying, support what we're saying. We know that the majority of Barbadians, more than 90% of them, support, for example, creating a healthier environment in our schools, you know, the school nutrition policy and that kind of thing. But we want Barbados to be more vocal about it. We want to encourage them to continue following our social media, so our Facebook and our Instagram. We really do quite a bit of outreach work. So maybe we're having seminars or different things. We want Barbados to really engage. And I want to say that we are going to change our culture where we put, when we as a people put pressure on our government, when we as a people put pressure on our industries, we want to say to them, we deserve better. We deserve an environment that allows us to thrive and to grow, that allows our children to be the best that they can be. We want better for ourselves and for future generations. So we want Barbadians not only to get the information and the education and make changes on the individual level, yes, we want all of that, but then to be vocal about it, to start to get passionate about it, to start to speak up about it and demand change. We really need it now.
Agreed. And I think I find Barbadians, and perhaps it's a Caribbean thing, perhaps people want this, but they want other people to do it for them. Do you think that's the case, Dr. Hope? What would you like to see Barbadians do to push this more?
You know, from on a very basic level, I would just like Barbadians' parents, you know, to just ask more questions. When they go to their doctor, just ask more questions about food and about nutrition and about what does this doctor think is good for me. Ask more questions to your dentist, your nutritionist, you know, even to some teachers, depending on the relationship you have. Get your kids involved too. When you go shopping with your kids, get them involved. And this is why mommy or daddy is choosing this over this, because we think that this is healthier for you and won't cause blah, blah, blah. So from a very basic level, that's basically what I want to see. I want to see my parents and my patients, my little patients, asking me, not, well, what do you think about blah, blah? What do you think about, you know? And I would be so happy to talk about that. I would just love that.
That would make your day.
It would make my day.
Stacia, you have the final word. What would you like to see from Barbadians and parents and policymakers? What would make your day?
What will make my day, Lisa, is just to have the environment conducive to making healthy food choices. I think once we can start to do that, and Kia already said, it means getting the government involved, getting our food manufacturers involved, our restaurants, our supermarkets. Let's come together. We need options. We need better options. We don't, you know, sometimes you walk into a supermarket and the first thing that salutes you is aisles of sweetened drinks. We want better options. Why not put an aisle of water? You know, let's have better options. I mentioned, you know, with COVID, we had billboards and everything. And it's great. We had Heart and Stroke and the Barbados Childhood Obesity Collision. We've had our billboards there. There by Spring Garden. We want to have other companies and people coming on board. Let's put it out there, put the information, have it seem easy, have it you know, visible, that making food choices is what we need for a better Barbados now and for our future. And we can't do it alone, we can't do it by ourselves. We need all the stakeholders. And I believe once we can have everybody singing the same song, but coming with a different component to make it work, then that will truly make me happy. And I know it will make a better Barbados for now in the future.
Thank you so much, Stacia Whitaker, Dr. Camille Hope, and Dr. Kia Lewis, bringing our program to a close for this week. This has been Healthline. Next week, the topic will be Let's Reimagine Our School Environment. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Lisa Bailey. Thanks so much and have a wonderful evening.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention.
Please.
All these sweeties and salty chips,
them just give hypertension.
Get some old-fashioned itch through a tilted back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed, steady watching movies like 24/7.
Is it try on going you garden, I pick a fruit or start farming, because the state of the health of summer, we mind is alarming.
Jeez, bread. Real talk. That Gary wanna sell, nah?